Welcome, everybody, and thanks for joining me this next hour. You're listening to Everyday Astrology with C.A. Brooks on Transformational Tuesdays here on 1-2 Radio, where we are changing the way we listen to the world. And this is April 29th, 2025. And on today's show, we are going to be looking at the week ahead, which includes a couple of things. But in terms of announcements, I woke up this morning to some technological issues with my computer. And as I told Serena, you know, I kind of went back and forth thinking, should I cancel the show? You know, I don't want this to just be all funky, but I think not that I fixed the problems will hopefully get fixed this afternoon. But what it has to do with is my monitors. And you know me, I'm not going to say I love to multitask, but I love to see lots of different things, especially when I'm doing a reading, working with a client, or doing a radio show. So I have three separate monitors, and I have my astrology software, I have some notes, and I have some other documents up just in case I want to refer to some dates and that sort of thing. Well, this morning, that's not possible. I literally have one monitor in which I'm trying to, you know, flip between a few applications. And so hopefully, you know, this is only going to be an inconvenience on my part, and I'm not going to sound real scattered. But if I do, I apologize right now. But what it also does mean is I really am limited in terms of, you know, being able to get onto Facebook. I know a lot of you go to our private group over there, you know, by entering the chat through 12radio.com. And if you want to do that, I can try to look over there later. But quite truthfully, with one monitor, I'm just not going to be able to run that application as well as a couple of other things that I want to have up while we're doing the radio show. So just to let you know that, if you don't see me over there, that's why. I might go over there later and, like I said, look at your comments and that sort of thing. But we're going to try to get through this, and hopefully my notes will be available to me, and I won't just be flying by the seat of my pants as we're talking here, because, you know, I approach this radio show, I like to think of it oftentimes as an interaction, but also like a class, you know, that this is what's going on this week, and hopefully you can take away some good astrology information, you know, from every radio show. So, you know, I have notes that I like to refer to and say, this is what we're going to talk about, and this is where we're going to go. But on the other hand, I like to talk. So truthfully, I probably could just get off on something, and maybe that would be fine too. But let's just kind of dive in and look at the week ahead. So on our agenda is Venus re-entering Aries. That's going to happen on Wednesday, April 30th. Venus is also going to do a hookup with Neptune on Friday. And that's particularly important because, you know, most of the time she only does that about once a year, maybe once every, 14 months or so, depending on their retrograde schedules. But, you know, she retrograded this year. And so I don't have the date in front of me. That's one of the, you know, not bonus of not having all my notes. But the point is, she has had this back and forth with Neptune. And now she's moving forward again, and she's going to hook up with Neptune on Friday. But this time it's going to be different because they're both in Aries. They're not in that soft, imaginative, creative energy of Pisces anymore. So it's going to be a different kind of energy when the two of them get together on Friday. Then Pluto is going to move retrograde on Sunday. So I want to touch base with these various energies and just kind of give you an idea of what I think the lay of the land is for this particular week. So for the week of April 28th, let's start with what I like to start with. It's the lunar cycle. Where are we in the lunar cycle? Because, you know, generically or generally, if we kind of know where we are, then we know, are we really building something? Are we putting something into place? Or are we in the part of the cycle where we're letting go? Well, you know, we just had that new moon in Taurus on Sunday, the 27th. So we're in the first week of the cycle. So you might notice this might be a time when you are pulling some things together. Very much you might feel like you're initiating something, and this is a good time to do it. And I think especially with Venus moving into Aries, we're going to find that that's true. And generally, I know we've talked about this a little bit before, but I want to emphasize it again this morning, especially with Venus moving into Aries, that in many ways, people felt like 2025 was off to a slow start. Now, I know in some ways people go, oh my God, all this stuff going on. But when it really came to doing things in our lives, did you notice that there seemed to be this, you know, kind of stop, no, go ahead, no, wait, push this, and oops, no, let's go back and do that. Slow down, hurry up. All of this waiting kind of energy. Now, I don't want to blame it on the planets, because once again, the planets don't do anything except represent mass consciousness, represent our consciousness. But what was going on is that we entered 2025 with the planet Mars retrograde. And to me, that's very important because remember, Mars doesn't retrograde every year like many of the planets do. It only retrogrades about every 2 years, every 18 months or so. And so that is the planet of action. So when we enter a year or, you know, turn over an important kind of marker in our lives, and Mars is retrograde, then I think, you know, it just gives us a little pause because it's more planning than it is action. We may be inspired, or maybe we're thinking, you know what, this thing doesn't inspire me as much as it used to. I'm not sure I do want to go into 2025 with this kind of energy. So we enter 2025 with that Mars retrograde. But as an astrologer, I know I was being particularly cautious because as Mars went out of that retrograde, which was the third week of February, I knew that Venus was moving into a retrograde, and so was Mercury. Venus retrograde on March 1st and Mercury on March 15th. So as I was working in my own life and planning things and looking ahead, or as I was working with other people, and they were saying, should I put my house on the market? Should I change jobs? Should I do this, this, this? Well, I'm not going to ever tell anybody really to just plan their lives according to astrology. I think that would be silly. But on the other hand, it's kind of like looking at the weather report. If it's going to rain, you might as well take your umbrella and you might as well put on a raincoat or at least be prepared for that. So that's how I saw it. You know, just be aware that when planets are retrograde, especially what we call those personal planets, Mars and Venus and Mercury are very, very close to the Earth. And they represent, in astrology, personal energies. You know, Mercury, the way we think and connect the dots, and Venus, what we love, and Mars, how we motivate ourselves. So when those personal planets were all in this kind of on and off retrograde motion, those first 3 months of the year, I think that's the kind of energy we had, where people, they had lots of ideas, lots of things they wanted to get done this year or things that they wanted to change in their lives. But the timing didn't seem quite right, or they weren't sure how all the pieces were going to fit together. So as we were looking ahead, we did have that kind of feeling of, hey, yeah, I want to spring into action, but when do I do that? And I don't want to end up with a lot of false starts or be faced with knowing that things are turning around. And that's the other thing with retrogrades often, is that we continue to get so much information that the way we start out isn't the way we end up, because now we have more information. We've got another perspective to look at this. So yeah, maybe we wanted to change jobs, but we didn't know that our boss was going to quit and go to a different company. Or we didn't know that something else was going to happen that would change our perspective of whether or not we wanted to stay in that job, whether or not we wanted to be promoted, whether or not we wanted to go maybe to a different office, you know, be relocated. But now those retrogrades are over. And so now we're really trying to hit the ground running. And so what it feels like to me, that especially this week, is that, and by the way, I call this the retrograde free zone. We don't have any planets that are retrograde. And when you think about it, you know, I can't say this for sure, but ordinarily we have at least one or two planets retrograde. And I would say for maybe as much as at least half and maybe three quarters of the year. I mean, I think it's really only a few months a year that we can really say we're in a retrograde free zone. And there again, I would never, I mean, I love the retrogrades myself because I think that's a natural action. I really do see it as a dance. I see that we go sideways and we go backwards and we go forwards. So I don't think there's anything particularly magic about a retrograde free zone. But I know on the other hand, some people do. They like, woo, you know, nothing's going retrograde right now. Everything's just direct and out there. And we are in that zone until Sunday, because that is when Pluto is going to move into its annual retrograde. And what is that? That's May 4th, I believe. Yes. May 4th is when Pluto's going to move. But here again, and as we'll talk about Pluto in a few minutes, Pluto's retrograde for like 5 months a year, every single year. Those planets that are close, you know, or when I say closer, close to Pluto, they're way out there. They're orbiting really far away from the sun. That's Neptune and Uranus and even Saturn. You know, the farther out you go like that, those planets retrograde for months and sometimes 4 or 5 months every single year. Now, because of that, too, sometimes I call it that energy isn't just like right up in your face. Because it's more like a background energy. It's important, but we're not paying attention to it quite so much. So there again, life doesn't just stop. We don't go, okay, I'm not going to do that surgery because Pluto is retrograde. You know, we don't necessarily do those things. And, you know, we have to be very careful about that energy anyway. Because, you know, retrogrades are famous for actually correcting things that have been mistaken. So sometimes when it is a surgery or it's a renovation, or it's something that you want to go back and fix, retrogrades are the perfect time to do that. You know my stories, I always find something that's lost on a Mercury retrograde because once again, I'm seeing something in a different way. And yet, that doesn't mean that's the only time I'm going to find lost items, but retrogrades just enable us to see life in a slightly different way. So we might as well enjoy it. We might as well enjoy the dance. So the messages for this week, as I was kind of looking, okay, what's going on? I feel like it is an energy of, hey, let's get going. But let's not confuse movement with progress. And where I'm going here is we always need to have a direction. Because sometimes I think we get kidded into believing or, you know, maybe we just want to feel this. Well, as long as I'm doing something, that's better than nothing. Well, is it? In some situations, it might be. Maybe doing something is better than doing nothing. But it's, I think this week's messages have to do with targeting a direction. And so not just moving to move, not just like boom, 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 but rather know what the direction is. Because if you're just, you know, shooting arrows out, or if you're just like, you know, pushing things in all directions. Now, if you're a marketer, maybe that is what you do. You say, you know what? I'm not sure what's going to work. So I'm just going to send out a bunch of stuff and see what happens. But in a sense, that is a strategy. That's a strategy for a person doing marketing. But that's what I want you to focus on in your personal and your professional lives this week, is are you choosing the direction? You know, are you being thoughtful? Are you thinking about how you want the strategy to work? Because what I think we ought to be doing, and I think we hit more targets, we achieve more goals, if we're willing to identify what is the goal that I really want. And, you know, sometimes we don't know. You know, like even in relationships, I heard an analogy years ago that I just think is really, really useful. And I think it actually helps in personal relationships quite a bit. You know, if I call you up and I say, hey, there's this great new movie in town and I want to go to the movies. And let's say I've been waiting for that movie to open up. I mean, so my goal today, I want to see that movie. So I call you, I text you, hey, you want to go to the movies? And you say, it would be fun to do something with CA today, but I'm not really into the movies. So you suggest something else. And I say to you, hey, well, you know, let's meet for coffee or let's go do that later in the week. I'm going to go see the movie. Well, guess what? Your feelings could be really hurt because you're like, well, she called me up. I wanted to spend some time with her. But see, my intention was to find somebody to go to the movie with me. Now, that doesn't mean that it's not about you, but it does mean my intention was to see the movie. And so when you suggested something else to me, I didn't hop right on that bandwagon because that's not what I wanted. But on the other hand, let's say I said, hey, I really want to connect with you today. And so I call you up and I say, hey, let's go to the movies. And you go, not sure I want to go to the movies. Let's go get coffee. I say, sure. Where do you want to go? Because my intention is to connect with you. Now, maybe this is a good conversation to have in terms of Venus moving into Aries this week. Because see, what is the goal that we want? What is the intention? What do we want to attract? But speaking of this analogy, like I said, I think when I heard that analogy, and it's been decades ago, it really did change my life in terms of the way I related to people. Because I recognized that oftentimes we do have different intentions. And there was no point in my getting my feelings hurt because somebody decided, they were going to go to the movie and leave me at home because I didn't want to go to the movie. You know, we get our feelings hurt or we misinterpret what's really going on. And just because somebody's your good friend doesn't mean that they don't have an intention. Like, I want to go find a red blouse. I want to go, this is what I want to do today. So really kind of tuning into what are your own goals? What are your own intentions? And how are you going to get there? And just recognizing who people are in your life. Because in that same analogy, the other thing I realized is sometimes we have a number of people in our lives and they really are what I call acquaintances. Meaning, yeah, I want to go to the movie with you. But they may or may not really be a friend. A friend is a different classification where there is reciprocity in a relationship. And there again, once you intensify that, so maybe it's an intimate relationship or a marriage relationship or a business partnership. We all have, in a sense, some guidelines or rules for those kinds of relationships. Well, when we're clear with Venus on what do I want this relationship to look like? What are the rules here? Then maybe we wouldn't get so messed up. Because that's what happens is we misinterpret what, maybe somebody wants. Maybe we are an acquaintance to them, but we want to be something more than that. And so I think the more that you can kind of think about some of those things, especially when it comes to intention, then we get clearer on what's going on. So this week, it's about defining those intentions, defining the goals, deciding on a strategy of how we want to pursue something, and then taking action, not taking the action first. But that being said, also, I think sometimes we're just too hard on ourselves. And I guess I'm speaking for myself. We're just playing too hard on ourselves. And so, we don't have to divide life into all these little categories. I mean, that's kind of me. On the Enneagram, I'm a number one. And any of you who know the Enneagram, you probably go, yep, that's CA. She's got all these little divisions and categories and things have to be so-so. Well, that's what makes the world go around, right? Because we're all different and we have different things that motivate us. So specifically talking about Venus going back into Aries. And of course, I'm saying she's going back into Aries and she's going to be there through the, maybe I don't have that in my notes. Check the power peak for that. And in fact, it's going to be June 5th. And I always like to put a plug in for Mark's Power Peak. That is the online newsletter that goes out every Saturday night. I hope that you are subscribed to that. It's free, and he doesn't sell your information. You can go to 12house or 12listen.com, and there's links that you can sign up and get those. And that's where you're going to see a lot of this information in writing in the various articles that you'll see in Mark's Power Peak. So with Venus moving back into Aries, she was there before she started the retrograde, right? She went into Aries, then she backed out of Aries, went into Pisces. Well, now she's going back to Aries. And as I said before, it's always interesting because we come back after one of these retrogrades with a lot more information than we had before. And Venus is the planet that's associated with values. who and what we find attractive, how we make ourselves attractive, how we want to appeal to either someone or to something we want to attract. I mean, even think about it in terms of a job interview. Have you ever like worn certain clothes or, you know, done your resume a certain way because you want to appeal to that particular job or to that person who is, you know, going to be interviewing you? So Venus is that ability to kind of read the room, to read the energy, but it's also, it speaks to us, like when we look at Venus in our own charts, it shows us what do we naturally think is attractive. And here again, it's so much fun when you look at it, because it's easy to get into this thing of going, okay, this is feminine, this is masculine, this is attractive, this isn't. You know, it doesn't work that way. There are so many different people and so many different preferences and inclinations. And so, but you look at that Venus in your own chart, look at it by sign. Is it fire? You know, is it impulsive? Is it passionate? Is it in a water sign? So it's sensitive and intuitive and you know, takes things in. It's impressionable. Is it in air? So it loves to talk. You know, it loves to connect with people, loves to connect with ideas. Or is it in earth? So it's very sensual. So you can look at it from that perspective. You can also look at the modality. Is it cardinal? So it's very initiating. Is it fixed? So it kind of says, this is the way it is and I'm not changing it. Or is it, you know, one of the variable signs, you know, like Gemini and Pisces, you know, like to, you know, switch it up a little bit. So you can look at the element. You can look at the modality. You can also look at where it sits in your chart. What house is it in? Because the house, which are different areas of our lives, it'll tell you, like, is that Venus up in your 10th house? You're really passionate about your work, or you want to bring beauty. Like, you know, Venus in the 10th house could be somebody who's an interior decorator, could be somebody who does hair and, you know, an esthetician who does that for life. It could be somebody who is an incredibly creative person. It can be somebody who's a diplomat, a facilitator, you know, because they use those skills of Venus to bring people together. I mean, obviously, so many different manifestations, but you look at it in a house, then you look at Venus. Who is she associating with in the chart? Does she have any relationships? You know, is she aspecting those other planets? So that's, it's worthwhile doing that in your own chart. But for right now, we're going to focus on the idea that, you know, where is she? She's going to be in Aries for all of us. So there again, your personal Aries may not be, you know, or your personal Venus may not be in Aries. But if you look to the part of your chart where you see Aries, where is that Aries energy? That is where Venus is kind of stirring things up. That's where Venus is like waking up some passion. That's where she's operating right now. And remember that she's about love and romance and desire and sensuality. She's about cooperation, creativity. And she represents our ability to appreciate beauty. She's about money and finances for sure. And the reason is because, of course, what is valuable to us? That's a Venus function. So, you know, sometimes we also, I think, get into this idea. It's really easy to, especially, you know, when, if we want to define the world kind of black and white, we think of Venus as a very passive energy. She is alluring. She desires something and she attracts it to her. And Mars, as her soulmate, astrologically speaking, is the active principle. So Mars goes out and takes what he wants. He goes out and does it. You know, he's the active part of that little duo. However, if you look at traditional astrology, Venus is linked to a variety of goddesses and deities, including Aphrodite and Ishtar and Isis. And what you'll see in many, because here again, it's all mythology. And mythology comes from so many different cultures, so many different countries, belief systems, etc. And so sometimes I fall into that thinking Venus is so passive. Well, you know what? Not really. In many of the mythological stories, she's anything but passive. And in fact, I think Aphrodite was the one who was pictured with a net, and she would use this net, you know, throw this net out to like pull back to her what she wanted. And I know I personally often think of Venus as a magnet, you know, pull, you know, strengthening that magnet, turning it up to high speed and attracting something into our lives. Well, I'm bringing this up because Venus in Aries is not passive. Aries is a very forward kind of sign. If you wanted to see it in terms of extrovert, introvert, this is an extroverted sign. It's a fire sign. So it's a cardinal sign. It's known for being assertive, maybe even aggressive, going out and getting what it wants. It's courageous, impulsive, and fearless. Now, I know in the last few weeks, we've talked a lot about Aries, you know, because we had been in the season of Aries, and because of these planets, especially Neptune, moving into Aries. Well, this is a very, like I said, if you think about Venus and you want to have this traditional kind of feeling, or, you know, I shouldn't say traditional, because I think traditionally, Venus was probably a lot more assertive than we talk about her now in astrology. But what that Aries energy is, and in fact, some ways I think, oh, that's not a natural fit for Venus because it is very assertive. But on the other hand, it's more, if you just, and I'm not going to get this right because I can't think of, is it Xena, the warrior? Think about women either in cartoons or heroes or that kind of, or there again, the goddesses. This Aries, you know, she's not sitting waiting for somebody to choose her. Venus in Aries is not sitting and waiting for anything. She's going out and she's getting it. So if you think about the planets as characters in a stage play, you know, she has traded in this kind of gossamer kind of, you know, Pisces veneer, this beautiful dress, you know, I see it as really see-through, transparent, magical, beautiful blues and purples and, you know, really incredibly gorgeous Pisces energy. And now she's like in black leather or red leather, you know, colors of Aries, colors of fire, orange and reds and yellows. And she's marching and saying, hey, I got my boots on and I'm going to go out and get what I want. So psychologically, we're in a whole nother place than we were when she was in Pisces. And here again, we were here backed into Pisces. And now we're back in Aries again. So maybe, possibly, it's a little bit softer energy because she says, I know what it is to be both. But there again, coming from Pisces, I think Aries has, or rather Venus has this idea of, you know, maybe she spent enough time trying to figure out what's really important to me. What are the spiritual values? And how can I let my spiritual values, and I'm taking that from Pisces, infuse how I'm going to march forward in my life, how I'm going to get what I want, or how I'm going to make the changes that I want. And so possibly it is a different or softer energy or more directed. But there again, this is why it's so important, because in some ways, Aries is that energy of, I'm just going to take off, I'm going to get on my bike, I'm going to get in my car, I'm just going to take off. But it needs to have a purpose. It needs to have a direction to go. And I think very much we're getting that direction from Venus having been in Pisces. And we're getting it from other places too. But this is not a passive energy. And, you know, this is an energy where when you wake up, and not just this week, but you go, hey, you know, things are really happening and I really want to move forward. I can feel the passion within me. Maybe there's something that you've wanted to do for a long time and you've never done it. Maybe you put something on the shelf. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's something else. But all of a sudden you're like, hey, I'm not going to just sit here and wait for the phone to ring. I'm not going to sit and wait for it anymore. Venus is in Aries. Now, I think this energy, I describe it also as being a little bit self-centered. But in this sense, I love that concept of self-centered when it's very, very positive. Because I believe if we were really centering ourselves and our energy, the whole world would be better, because this isn't the same as being selfish. It's about taking care of our own energy, taking care of our own initiative, going out after what we want and not making other people responsible for our happiness and our satisfaction. To me, that is being self-centered. And it's interesting, if you look it up, that is one of the original meanings of being self-centered, was really taking responsibility for yourself. But in our culture, we have come to see self-centered as meaning more of a selfish thing, or not being able to see outside of ourselves. And I recognize language changes. So I don't go throwing around that concept self-centered, you know, if people are not going to really pick up on what I'm saying. But I'm saying, in this sense, rethink the concept. Be centered on yourself in the very positive and good way. And part of that is, there again, taking the responsibility. Balance your work and your play, especially with Venus and Aries. Don't go too overboard one way or the other. Prioritize your preferences. And that doesn't mean over somebody else. But, you know, if you find that you're always giving into somebody else, you're always doing it their way, or, you know, and that could have happened with Venus in Pisces. You know, that we want at what's good for the group, and we're always looking for what's good for the group, maybe not good for ourselves. And we need to balance that a little bit. And if nothing else, we at least need to know what our preferences are. You know, what are they? Do we know what they are? Do we kind of lose ourselves in other people? Because sometimes we can do that. Now, the other thing is, Venus in Aries, I don't think it's quite as playful as I'd say when it is in Leo, because it's very playful there. But I think it likes to have a good time. So there is, and when, you know, when Aries thinks of having a good time, it's usually accomplishing something, achieving something, you know, climbing the mountain, doing something, you know, pushing against something. So there's nothing quite as satisfying as a challenge that consumes our attention when the planets are in Aries, and maybe especially Venus. So here again, if your relationships, if you're feeling like a little bit, they're a little contrary, or they're a little more confrontational than usual, well, that's not necessarily a bad thing, because it could just be, I always like to say, Venus in Aries, and Mars too, but Venus in Aries is not a couch potato. She doesn't sit there and say, hey, you got to sit here and discuss our feelings. She says, hey, let's go play something. Let's go play racquetball. Let's go hiking. Let's go for a midnight swim. Let's go do something. And Aries energy will literally provoke or start a fight rather than just be bored. And so sometimes it's not such a bad thing. It's just, I want to move. I want to do something. I need a challenge. So if your relationships are feeling like they're a little ornery, or a little more on the edge right now, as Venus does move back into Aries, you know, that's what it is. And so, you know, stop and think, maybe this person isn't really wanting to fight with me. They just want the energy. They want the energy of the fight, the energy of being provocative. So this is a good time to kind of rethink that, and to also don't lose the lessons of Venus's recent retrograde. And what I mean by that is, I still feel very much that some of the things that are coming up for us is that people are looking at old relationships. And that's typical with Venus having been retrograde. You know, maybe some people came back into your life. Maybe some people didn't come back into your life that you wish had come back into your life. But here's another thing. When we look at old relationships or relationships from the past, it's interesting because the positive ones can sometimes interfere with our current happiness as much as the ones that we would consider negative. And what I mean by that is, let's say that you did have this really wonderful high school, you know, relationship, or in your early 20s or whenever it was, and maybe that person passed, or maybe you broke up with that person, or for whatever reason, you're not with them anymore. Well, are you holding every new relationship to a standard based on some past history? See, that's the way it can end up kind of hurting you, is by holding that standard and saying, nobody's ever going to be as good as this. I'm never going to have this kind of happiness again. Or it's that we hold a painful experience and let that inhibit us from really moving ahead. So, you know, this is the time as we're still kind of incorporating the lessons of that retrograde. Make sure that as those memories come up, I don't think, you know, don't swipe them to the side. If a memory comes up for you or somebody reminds you of something, you know, just look at the memory and say, what can I learn from this? What can I learn? What can I take away from it? You know, you don't need to hide it. You don't need to run away from it. You can embrace it and just say, hey, thanks for sharing. Thanks for being here for me. And that can happen when we've come up, you know, come off all these retrogrades. So just know that if something comes up for you, just look at it and just say, there again, thanks for sharing. Because Venus in Aries, remember, fearless. And so it's a good time to prioritize our passions, our curiosities, and to be self-aware. Even though sometimes I don't think Aries is the most self-aware energy, it really can be. Be aware of what you want. And there again, sometimes we don't have to analyze it. We don't have to, you know, put it in a little category or box. But we can just be aware of it. Okay? Now, another reason that I think it's interesting that Venus is returning to Aries is because of this hookup that she is going to do on Friday with Neptune. And in many ways, Neptune and Venus are very related. Venus has more to do with maybe a more personal concept of love, you know, that me and you or something that I love, a passion that I have, a hobby that I love. Whereas Neptune is a much, in some ways I say higher, and I'm not sure it's fair to say higher, but see, Neptune is that very ethereal energy that is creative, imaginative. Neptune is literally the planet of transcendence. It's the planet that when we get into that kind of energy, when we identify with Neptune, we are identifying with the part of ourselves that you might consider the soul or the spirit, because the part of us that knows no separation from other people, that knows no separation from anything, because everything, it's the ocean and all the drops are blended. There are no boundaries between us. And obviously, we live in a physical world. We believe that we are physical bodies. Neptune reminds us that we're not just physical bodies, that there's something else, that before we ever took on this body, we were something else. Neptune reminds us of that. So with Neptune, that's where you get all those ideas about altered states of consciousness. Now, it's very, to me, at its very base, it really is a spiritual energy. It's that light within us. When Neptune kind of comes knocking, or when we become aware of Neptune, we're aware of that spiritual energy within us that is not physical, that has no boundaries. But then it manifests in our life in ways like altered states of consciousness. So, and in fact, I know this maybe sounds weird. I don't know if I've ever said it to you, but for me, you know, I know that our world has lots and lots of issues with substance abuse, alcohol abuse and substance abuse. But I've always said, for a long time since I've been an astrologer, show me a person who has a substance abuse problem or an alcohol problem, and I'll show you a spiritual seeker. Because I believe that at the very heart of that, We somehow want to attach. We want to be able to see and understand and be in touch with that spiritual part of our nature. And when life becomes difficult or harsh and we want to change that view, we want to change that, you know, state of consciousness, sometimes we get confused along the way and we start relying on something outside of ourselves, like a drug or like alcohol, or like anything else that can change our consciousness. And there again, you know, I'm not sure that there's anything that's right or wrong in any kind of thing, but I know even on a spiritual level, sometimes when I hear people talk about using certain drugs, you know, as part of ceremonies and that kind of thing to change your state of consciousness, I can see how that could be positive. But for me, it's like, I want to be able to get there without the drug. I want to be able to just get there. I don't want to be dependent on something outside myself. But here again, this is not about judging whether or not that's right or wrong. But I'm saying, see, all that stuff can be very related. Because as human beings, as in our bodies, we know there's another state of consciousness. And so Neptune is related to those spiritual ideas. It's related to hypnosis and to drug and alcohol use, anything that, you know, changes our consciousness and, you know, all of it, hypnotism, anesthesia. That's a very, very Neptunian concept. Neptune rules anesthesia. And in fact, you know, at certain times when Neptune was in Pisces before, and here again, we're just emerging out of that Neptune and Pisces energy. That's when anesthesia, you know, 164 years ago, that's when anesthesia was really first mass used in surgeries or, it, you know, related to medicine and healthcare. And hypnotism really became a thing during that time as well. So, you know, that's what we've got going on. So think about that, Venus. This is my personal desire. This is what I want love to look like. And then you mix that with Neptune. So together, these two planets are very romantic. They're impressionable, idealistic about love and life. They have what I could consider refined tastes. And they're attracted to artistic adventure, mystical, spiritual experiences. And once again, they are, you know, when you put those two together, we can also get into a place where we want to escape. And why do we want to escape? Because life feels too harsh, or we want to be in an altered state of consciousness. So please just pay attention. See what's going on for you this Friday, which is May. Is that already May? Yes, it is. It's already May 2nd, this coming Friday, when Venus is together with Neptune. So it can be a highly, highly creative time. It, you know, just pay attention. See who crosses your path on that day. What's going on for you that day? Because like I said, it could be incredibly romantic. It could be incredibly, you know, creative, or it could also be a little disorienting. You know, but once again, use your intention to really make it what you want. But I also feel like I kind of got the impression that this is an opportunity with it in Aries of really taking control. So in other words, not just saying, you know, maybe we're rethinking some religious values that we have or some spiritual thoughts or ideas. You know, and, you know, maybe we've been really caught up with something like, oh, if I just, you know, use the power of positive thinking, or if I just do this, that, or the other thing. Well, it might be a good time to say, has it worked for you? And if it has, keep using it. But I think Venus coming into contact with Neptune is an opportunity in Aries to take a little more control, to take control of our own spirituality. And to know what we're thinking and how are we using our thoughts? How are we actually manifesting as spiritual beings? You know, it can mean all kinds of things. But I just think it's interesting. And so pay attention to what's going on for you on Friday with that kind of energy. All right. Now let's touch upon, we've got a few more minutes left. Let's touch upon Pluto moving into its annual retrograde cycle that's going to happen on Sunday. And of course, Pluto is now in Aquarius. But remember, because it's so far away from the sun, you know, from our perspective, it only just is inching along. So it's only at 3 degrees of Aquarius, even though it moved into Aquarius in December. I mean, it moves very, very slowly. And it's going to be retrograde until October 13th. And when it moves direct on October 13th, it's only going to be at 1 Aquarius. So see, we're talking 3 Aquarius, 2 Aquarius, 1 Aquarius. And I'm emphasizing those because once again, if you want to look at your own personal charts, look and see where are those degrees of Aquarius, because that's where Pluto may be just a background transformational energy, but that's where it is influencing your life. And there again, if you want to be a little more ambitious, you can look and see, do you have something that's exactly opposite of those degrees? Do you have something in Leo in 1 to 3 degrees? Because that's going to be influenced as well. I mean, there's a lot of other signs that will be influenced, but look particularly in your chart for things that are sitting between 1 and 3 degrees. because those may get like a little nudge or a little bump or some activation from Pluto sitting in those degrees. And remember too, because it's a retrograde, it's already gone over those degrees. Now it's going to go backwards over those degrees, and then it's going to go forward again. So that is likely where we're going to notice some transformative energy working in our lives. And here again, because Pluto is retrograde for so long, for all those months, you know, it's not like it's just in our face all the time, unless, of course, you've got a planet sitting at 1, 2, or 3 of Aquarius, or like I said, maybe Leo. Or even, you know, other signs as well, like the Leo and Scorpio and Taurus. Those are all influenced. Those are influenced by squares. There will be some trines in there as well. But when you think of Pluto, think about it as it can be very confrontive energy and very confrontive of the status quo. Because it's opening something up. It's a powerful planet. It's about regeneration. Often we interpret it as crisis, but the crisis leads to an eventual transformation. Sometimes it's about eliminating something from our lives so we can get clean, so we can, you know, simplify. We can just do things a little bit differently. So here again, I think a lot of times, unless Pluto is literally directly on a planet or, you know, making one of those squares or a trine or maybe even an inconjunct, you may or may not see something going on. But over time, you certainly will. If it goes over your ascendant, you're certainly going to notice it. If it goes over your sun or your Mars, if it's making a specific connection, you're going to notice it. So just be aware of where Pluto is in your chart, but welcome it as an opportunity to really make significant and positive change in your life. And I will attest to, it's not always fun, but it's worthwhile. I mean, it will change your life for the positive. It will make incredible changes in your life. And, you know, sometimes, you know, it just helps us get in touch with some inner demons, you know, or some inner conflicts that we've got going on in our lives. There again, depending on the house that it's sitting in. But when we do that, we turn all those things into wisdom. I mean, truly, every experience we have can be a representation of learning something new, incorporating that energy, and using it as wisdom. And when it becomes that wisdom, it's also likely that we become a lighthouse for other people. You know, it's so often when somebody else has been through something, it's so much, I mean, what they tell me or what they, you know, how they process it is so useful to me. Not somebody who doesn't, you know, has never been through it, doesn't know what they're talking about. And I'm not saying that you have to have experienced something to know it, but all I'm saying is every single thing that happens to us or appears to happen to us or any kind of change in our lives, whether we initiated it or not, can be very, very positive. And it can be like that lighthouse to other people because it can show them how to come through some of those things as well. So just consider that, you know, it doesn't have to be a negative thing. But anyway, that's Pluto moving into its retrograde. We're not going to talk a whole lot about Pluto being retrograde because, like I said, it does it every year. It sits there for 5 or 6 months, sitting retrograde. And it's leading the pack this year in terms of moving into a retrograde cycle. And it will be followed in the not too distant future by some other planets as well. All right, well, that's basically what we are talking about today, and I think we are going to move towards closing the show. I have a few more thoughts I'll share with you, but I want to say thank you for joining me, and I hope that this was provocative for you, you know, kind of stirred some things up and gave you some things to think about. So thanks for listening to the show. Thanks for listening to it, too, in the archives of 12radio.com. I will try to get that into the archives today. There again, with my computer, I know I'm going to be doing some techie things this afternoon trying to get this fixed up. So we'll see if we can't get that loaded soon, if you didn't get to hear the whole show. And, but thank you so much. Thanks to our producer today, Serena. And I hope that you will stay tuned for Empowerment with Kelly Whetstone. She's coming up next. But I'll leave you today with what I'm calling the quote of the week. This also appears in Mark's Power Peak this week. And I was looking for somebody with Pluto in Aquarius, which, now remember, Pluto, you know, is only in a sign every 250 years, right? So there's nobody living right now who has Pluto sitting in Aquarius. But there's a lot of people, you know, some writers and interesting people that I can dig out some quotes. And one of those people is Mary Shelley, who is the author of Frankenstein, among other things. But I found this quote, and it just really stuck with me because she not only has Pluto in Aquarius, but it's retrograde in Aquarius. And she, and I don't know if this is part of a novel or not. Like, it could be part of Frankenstein or part of another novel. But it says, "No man chooses evil because it is evil. He only mistakes it for happiness, for the good he seeks." Now, I think the reason that hit me is because how often do you hear somebody say, "Why would they do that?" You know, and honestly, sometimes you hear these stories on the news, or you're following something and you're going, "What is wrong with that person? Why would they do that?" I mean, I find myself saying that quite a bit, like, "What is going on in that person's mind? Why would they do that? What is that about? Why would they choose that over something really inspirational? Why would they go that direction?" And when I saw this quote, it's like, no man chooses evil because it's evil. He only mistakes it for happiness. And I thought, you know, there again, it goes right along with that idea of intention. Sometimes do we choose things because we're convinced that is the path to our happiness? But it also just made sense that even if our intention is self-sabotage, or our intention is to get even, because we think that's how, you know, that's what makes me happy, is to get even with the world or with this person or whatever. We don't choose things because we go, "Hey, that would be a bad thing to do." We choose it because we mistake it for our happiness. It's what we think will make us happy. And so once again, that quote kind of stopped me in my tracks. And I just kind of offer that to you now, not only in terms of, you know, looking at other people and trying to back off of the judgment, but recognizing in many ways, people really, we're all struggling in one way or another. We're all struggling with the physical universe. And we're looking for what makes us happy. That Venus, what do we attract? What do we think is worthwhile? What do we think is valuable? Now, we probably get confused from time to time about the strategy or how that's going to work. And maybe that's it. We mistake something thinking that's going to bring us happiness. But I would encourage you, really look at, you know, everything. Is it working for you? Because if it's not, it's time to change your mind about it, which we can do. Very much. So just, you know, we're always looking for our happiness. We're not really looking to make mistakes, to be bad people or to be evil. We're mistaking something. We think it's going to make us happy. So there again, people, you know, some astrology, you're listening to 1-2 Radio, you're reading things in Mark's Power Peak, you're spiritual seekers. I think if you weren't spiritual seekers, I don't think you'd be here today. And as you do that, just look for, you know, just be intentional. And when you make a mistake, you just make a correction. That's all you do. You don't beat yourself up. You don't judge yourself. You just make a correction. Okay? All right. So go after your happiness today and this week, and I will hopefully be back with you next week. This is CA signing out. You have been listening to Everyday Astrology with CA Brooks on 1-2 Radio, where we are changing the way that we listen to the world.